This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man.
And good morning. Welcome in. Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. You kind of wake up with a little extra hop in your step today, Charlie. You know, we got the Masters next week.
Next week, but today, history has been made. We just saw the starting of a great tournament. The Masters has a way of doing things that really set the tone for everybody else. The tournament itself is fantastic. The chip, drive, pitch, and putt. But now this Lady Amateurs tournament, I think, is just fantastic, and I congratulate Augusta.
Yeah, and as you said, what's really neat, this thing is going to be on the Golf Channel today, but tomorrow the final round, I believe, is on NBC. Is it not?
Today.
Today is on NBC later in the afternoon, excuse me. So later today it's going to be on NBC, which what a showcase, too, for the opportunity for some of these golfers to not just be at Augusta, but to also have an opportunity to be on national television in the afternoon.
And they also respected the past champions, Annika Sorenstam, Nancy Lopez, Sari Park, and Lorraine Ochoa, four great ladies, teed off in a ceremony kind of like Palmer, Nicklaus, and Player. Great start for the day. It's going to go into a big event, I guarantee you. So congratulations one more time.
We'll get into that with Bill Harmon as well. He's, going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on that. And what we see this weekend in San Antonio with the Valero Texas Open, and you look at the leaderboard a little bit there, and you see, guess who is tied for second? Jordan Spieth. So we're going to talk a lot about him, Charlie, because
big
perfect
body.
Timing, right? Perfect timing.
Big body.
Yeah, I want to get into that. You said that's your new nickname for him, right?
Big body.
Okay, so we're going to talk plenty of Jordan Spieth because he is 8-under, 4 shots off the lead in San Antonio, just a couple hours west of where we are at. So we'll do that and plenty of Masters. We'll have some fun around this. Look at some of the odds. We'll each draft our team here for the Masters so we can check in and see how we're doing next Saturday as well. It's going to be a fun show. It's Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right, we're just getting started here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour live in Houston. But, of course, we go out to the phones and welcome in third member of the show, of course, Bill Harmon. Bill, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Bill, we're doing great. We just saw the opening ceremony on the first tee at Augusta National. Sari Park, Lorraine Ochoa, Nancy Lopez, and Annika. Now, did you ever think you'd see that foursome teeing off at Augusta?
Well, I just think it's great. I think what they're doing this week is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing the telecast today and watching the women play there. You know, Augusta National, a lot of people love to criticize the way they do things and the things that they do. All I know is that they continue to put on the most first-class events of probably any organization in the history of sports. They do it their way, and they do it on their own time schedule, but I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be great for golf. I would imagine the viewership for this on TV will far exceed the viewership for the ANA championship and being played right here in the desert. Their LPGA premier major, so I can't wait to watch it, to be honest with you, Charlie. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Where does today rank, guys? I mean, obviously it's one of the biggest days in women's amateur golf history. I mean, dare I say, is it maybe the biggest and just potentially what this event could become?
It's big. It's historic. There's a lot of other moments that have transpired in golf, but for ladies golf, this is huge. Bill, it's interesting. We were watching my grandson play baseball last night, and my daughter Mimi, who really was a great amateur golfer, she tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Dad, I think it's time for me to start practicing again. I can go play at Augusta." So that's just an example of what that's going to do, and they're going to do it correctly, and I think that this will morph into a bigger event. This time they selected field. They got a good representation. They're only playing one round at the historic Augusta Golf Course, but moving forward, it's fantastic. It's been such an important part of your life, Bill, important part of my life, and I just really got juiced this morning when I saw it on television.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed the opening ceremonies, but was there a pretty good crowd there?
Wonderful crowd. It was of course, around the tee, but down the fairway. I mean, it was very well attended. And I know this year, they only had so many tickets, because it's so close to next week, they can't have so I think it was very well represented. And it's awesome.
I can't wait
to watch it today, and you've got the number one player leading the tournament, so it's all setting up, I think, and from what I understand, the other girl in second place is the longest hitter, so you've got the best player and the longest hitter in the last group, and as somebody said on the Golf Channel recently, wouldn't that be fun if that happened again a week from Sunday to have the best player and the longest hitter in the last group. So I really think it's fantastic. I think it's great for the game. And I know there was some criticism about they took some amateurs out of the field of the ANA. And I think the amateurs that decided to play in the tournament out here made a mistake because they had a chance to be the very, very, very first women golfers to ever play a tournament at Augusta National. They'll never have that opportunity again. And if they're any good, they'll play in a lot of ANA championships. So, in my view, they made a mistake playing in the ANA tournament, but that's your own personal choice, and that's fine. Also,
I thought it was a hard decision, and the Venezuela girl, she honored her commitment because their tournament invited her 4 years ago, and it really jump started her career and. She says, although it would have been nice to have played in that one, this golf tournament invited me first, and I'm going to honor that. So I think that was very appropriate.
That's fine. Yep, that's great.
Do you guys think that in what you just discussed there about still having the LPGA event on the same, do you think with the success of this and likely success of this event this weekend that it will change next year, that the dates might be moved around and maybe they'll learn from this mistake?
Well, I don't think it's a mistake.
I don't think the Masters, Augusta National, is going to change their dates. I think if anybody's going to have to change, it'll be the LPGA.
Right.
And I got news for you. I live out here, and I've watched it on TV in the afternoons when I get home from work. There's nobody at that tournament. I'm telling you, the crowds are so sparse, and this is their premier event. This, in reality, is the ladies' Masters. It's played on the same course, got great history, great tradition, and I'm telling you, they can't draw flies with two-way stick paper out there. There's nobody out there watching.
Yeah, that's...
No, it really is. It's kind of sad. I posed a question on Facebook, and I never get any answers that the interest in women's professional golf doesn't come close to matching the quality of play because I don't know, Charlie, if you've ever watched these girls up close and personal. They are phenomenal golfers and ball strikers. And I'm telling you, there is just zero interest in it. It's kind of amazing to me to think that they could play so good and see. This used to be a tournament that had huge crowds.
Yep.
And as the quality of play has increased, the attendance and the interest is decreasing at a rate that really is, to me, quite alarming.
Really surprising. Really surprising. We have Stacey Lewis at the Golf Club of Houston. Her husband happens to be the ladies' golf coach for the University of Houston. And to see her practice and see her dedication, you know, the women golfers work just as hard as the men golfers at their trade.
It's not harder.
You know, and so, yes, up close and personal, they can hit most any golf shot. But I think the Augusta National will keep this ladies' event as an amateur event. I don't think they'll
get it. I
think they
should.
I don't think they'll get into professional golf. I think this sets the stage for a nice ladies' event.
Charlie. It'll be interesting, though, Charlie, to see if the LPGA changes the date, because I don't think there's any way the Augusta National can change the date, because they've got their own little schedule. They're only open 6 months a year, I believe, and this fits in perfectly for them to do it the weekend before the Masters. They have all the infrastructure in place to do it. So I'd be very surprised if they change the date. And I'll be interested to see how the LPGA responds, especially if this event creates a lot more interest than their premier major championship creates. So I'm going to be in the audience watching how Commissioner Juan and the LPGA organization responds to this.
Well, I'm sure they've
kind of
had
a dilemma that I think they have.
Yeah, I'm sure they've already had many discussions on that. The Augusta National is, you know, they deal with all the associations from all over the world who come to the event, and I'm sure when they established this event, they consulted the appropriate people and paid respect to the. To the LPGA, but as you say, this is what we can handle, and this is what we're going to do moving forward. So be it, and it's great that it's here.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio, and we'll turn the page to the Masters in just a little bit, of course, but how about the Valero Texas Open? We'll get into that and a look at the top of the leaderboard and what potentially could be some strong showings that parlay people into next week just a little bit. And our final thoughts from the match play that occurred last weekend. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, we're off and running this morning here on SB Nation Radio, thanks to our friends over at Insperity.
Yes, sir, and they understand the game of golf. They understand how important it is to promote their brand. And upcoming, their tournament, the Insperity Invitational, is going to be the first week in May, a great celebration here in Houston at the Woodlands. All of the guys are coming. They're going to have a great field. They have the great greats of golf coming on Saturday, which is just an incredible afternoon where everybody can come and watch Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, goes on and on, Tom Weisskopf, Tom Watson's coming back this year to play, and Bernard Langer, of course. So I just, you know, Insperity is a company that understands small business, and they understand people. And if you really want to help your business, give them a call. Log on to Insperity.com. Let them fill you in on what they can do for you. Or you can ask them, here, this is what I need. Can you help me? And I'm sure they will really go out of their way to make sure they help you to grow your business. And the Insperity, which is brought to you by United Healthcare and a lot of great sponsors. It's a great week in Houston, the first week of May. Come for our listeners on our network, on SB Nation Radio, come to Houston. Entry is free, and it's a great celebration. Alex, I'm
looking
to get
for
you out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Bill, it's a great, you know, once again, you're watching the PGA players, watching the LPGA players, watching the amateurs, lady amateurs, and the old-timers play. Golf's a great game.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. Now, Bill, I want to go back to last week briefly before we get to the Texas Open and what we saw in match play with Kisner getting the win over Kuchar there on Sunday afternoon. What did you guys make of how ultimately how the final day or so went there? We were on the air when Tiger was still rolling. Of course, he was unable to get it to the final matches.
Well, I think when Tiger and Sergio lost their matches, a lot of the mojo went out of the event from an interest level. I didn't even watch one shot in the finals. But I watched, Tiger's match very closely, and of course, the Sergio Kuchar dust-up or whatever that was create a little bit of interest. But that is the kind of the interest level in match play changes when the best players start getting eliminated. But Kisner, was in the finals last year and lost, and to get back to the finals again this year is a heck of a feat. So I thought all in all the match play, I enjoy the tournament. I enjoy watching the head-to-head stuff. But I thought when Tiger got eliminated, that really took a little bit of the buzz out of the event because he was really creating some interesting stuff, especially, as we talked last week, I said I thought all the pressure would be on Rory against Tiger because Rory came in playing so well. And once again, Tiger prevailed head-to-head with Rory after beating him pretty poorly that last round at Atlanta at the Tour Championship. So I was a little surprised there, but I did believe that the pressure was on Rory. The match play tournament I enjoy, but once again, I think when the stars get eliminated, it just seems to take something away from the event.
I went up to the event on Wednesday, and it was a great atmosphere. The Austin Country Club has just done a wonderful job in Dell putting together this event. It's well attended, and it's a lot of golf. It's just an incredible amount of golf that they start on Wednesday, and then they play seven matches. I thought it was a very successful tournament, and it was great to see a different body win. Kevin Kisner is a slight guy, might be 5'10 or 5'9, weighs 135 pounds, and he drove the ball extremely well. And that's a Pete Dye golf course, and it's built on the side of a hill overlooking the lake. Great setting, and it's a housing development. But by the time Sunday came around, Sunday afternoon, I was worn out.
You're right, though, about the buzz, because even on social media, so Saturday while we were on the show, and then even, and I was watching Tiger Saturday afternoon, and as soon as Tiger was out, I was done as well, but social media was full of interaction. People were talking about it because of Tiger. As soon as Tiger was out, then I didn't see a single person, at least that I follow on Twitter, tweet anything about the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, and the Tiger effect is going into the Masters now, Bill. He got a lot of good golf in, and he hit a lot of great golf shots. It's amazing, the putt he missed to tie and move on, he couldn't handle. But overall, I think it's a good tournament. One a year, it doesn't hurt. My hat's off to
I heard a player tell me, Charlie, that if they had a regular tour event on that golf course, they wouldn't be able to fill the field.
It's different. It's different.
It's actually a terrible golf course.
I don't think it's terrible at all. I think it's just a great use of the land that they had. I think it provides a lot of great golf shots. Pete Dye, he was given. Sometimes you get the great piece of land. I think if you had a tour event there and you're giving away $10 million, you're going to fill the field just like this week in San Antonio. It's not a player's preference, you might say, but they show up. They show up, and so be it. I'm of the opinion that you've got to evaluate golf courses not only by the architect, but the type of land that they had to use to make the land, and it was a housing development. And so
you're sounding like Gary Player's, the finest course of its kind.
Well, you know, I'm not as critical as you are, Bill. So I mean, that's.
Well, I didn't. I told you what a player said. I've never seen the place.
Yeah, it's, you're a player. You know.
So I don't know what the golf course. I do know that it looks very awkward on TV. I'd say.
Yeah. Well, I've been there.
It's like an awkward course.
It is. It is because. But it's. All courses are not alike, and that's what's so fantastic about the game. We'll
leave. Right, so be it.
You brought up, we'll move forward. You guys brought up, you know, this weekend what we're seeing in San Antonio, a couple hours to our west. Let's go there. Valero Texas Open, and a lot of the big names, of course, taking the week off ahead of the Masters. But you look, Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler in the field, and we see Fowler tied for second along with a host of guys, including Jordan Spieth, Bill, and it's been a little while since we've talked about him on a Saturday in the top five.
I tell you, Charlie and I have been talking about him now for a couple of years, and I don't think anybody could have ever predicted he would have gone from the number one player in the world to just inside the top 30 in a two-year stretch. Because there's nothing about Jordan Spieth to me that doesn't spell success. So I think it's been a very unusual stretch for him. But as Charlie knows, sometimes great players and elite golfers are one swing thought away from it all coming back. So I have never seen this golf course in person either, but it looks like it's kind of wrought with trouble. And so I'm very interested to see how he plays and putts this weekend. And wouldn't that be something if he went into the Masters with a win under his belt also? Because all the young players, I believe, other than Koepka, have won this year, all the great, you know, studs. And so if you throw Jordan in the mix coming in with a win, I think that creates a totally different buzz next week. So I'm very interested to see how he plays. They're four shots behind, and four shots is a pretty big lead. But it looks like the kind of golf course where that lead could dwindle pretty easily if the leader doesn't play well there early on in the next day or so. But and then Ricky Fowler's in there also. So Ricky hasn't won in a while also. But so if you got Ricky or Jordan winning coming into the Masters, the Masters already has a whole lot of mojo going on right now, but this would even add to it, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to use one word, Bill, and I was over there also on Wednesday watching the players on the range, and I was right behind Jordan Spieth for about 25 minutes, and it's transformation. He did not win the four majors and the 11 tournaments with the body that he has today. He's grown up. I think he's almost 6'2", Bill. I mean, he has really.
Yeah, he's bigger than people think.
He is really a big kid, and it takes a while to get accustomed to the new body, if you will. It just kind of, it's a new engine, and he had a lot of quality shots, and I think he's one of the people that can handle what's happened the last 2 years, and he's moving forward. And yes, it would be great if he went into Augusta with a victory. It would be great to get paired with Rory and, you know, the Grand Slam, and, you know, a lot of different storylines there. But I was also interested in watching Ricky Fowler, and Ricky Fowler hasn't played since the Players' Championship. And he really looked sharp. And so you got a bunch of storylines. And the golf course is a dangerous golf course, Bill. There is you know, a lot of double bogeys out there that can happen so quickly, not only off the tee, but the second shots are really demanding because of the way the greens are set into this hill. And then the wind. So it'll be a good weekend. It's a good, you know, warm-up spot for some of the players. So
we'll continue this discussion and turn the page to the Masters, first major of the year. We'll have some fun with the odds that are out there, and we'll each draft four golfers and see what we come up with, and that way we can get a little bit of bragging rights next weekend. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, Bill, you said it. We don't need any extra momentum, really, in luster around the Masters than we already have. We have plenty of it. First major of the year. But Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler having a nice weekend ahead would certainly be a nice boost as well for the entire event. And you guys, let's talk some Masters here. First off, both of you have been there I don't know how many times. I know, Charlie, you told me, well, this is the first time in, is it 12 years you haven't been there? Is that right?
Yeah, this is, you know, since first time there for me was 1978. But Billy was born into the Masters. How many years you've been there, Bill?
You know, I don't even know. I'm going to guess that I've been to 25 Masters.
Wow.
I'm not going to go this year either, but I've been there a lot. And obviously, with Dad winning the Masters, it's been a huge part of our lives and our golfing lives for sure. So the thing that I'm going to miss the most this year, Charlie, is every year I'd go up into the Champions locker room with Bob Goldie. And Bob is the oldest living Masters champion now. He's 90 years old, and he would always take me up there for breakfast or lunch, and I'd get to see my dad's locker. And so I will kind of miss that emotional journey for me. It's a moment that has great meaning to me, and it has great meaning to me to sit in there with Bob, too, and see all the other Masters champions coming in and out. And I know you've been up there with Angel quite a bit and stuff, and it's a very, very special room. And very, very few people get to experience that room the week of the Masters. So I'm going to miss that the most. My hour up there with Bob Dolby and seeing my dad's locker, and I can see right where it is right now in my mind. And it's a very proud thing to know that your dad's got that green jacket.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And wow. I've experienced that with Angel. But one of my best days in my golf career was with your brother. And we played there, and we had so much fun with as guests of some good friends. But I never forget going into the dining room with your brother and having grits and ham. And, you know, and it was just an incredible experience. And, you know, I'll miss being there this week, but I'm going to be watching it on television. And I was just telling to Alex, I got the app for the Masters, and it's all
of course
got to
have it.
I mean, it's just incredible how they do things. So we're going to have to pick here shortly.
Yeah, we are going to do that.
Tell us the rules of the game.
Yeah, you can start thinking ahead. So you can tell we can alter these. Charlie already was pushing back a little bit on these rules, but I was thinking we draft four golfers, and then the best three of your four scores will stand. You add them up, we'll get the final score, and then whoever has the lowest total wins. But if your golfer for some reason doesn't, you know, make the cut, well, you're not going to get rewarded for that. So we were just going to assign them a score of 80 for rounds 3 and 4. You tell me if you guys are okay with that.
I'd say if you have a player that misses the cut, or if you have two players that miss the cut, you're just out. That's all. Because if you have three players that make the cut, then you're still okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're taking all those three scores. If you have two players, well, that's just bad picking. You're out of the tournament.
Tournament.
So we can do that in just a second. But, you know, it's on my show, in fact, during the week, guys, I was talking about with our producer, Payne, about bucket list type of events and sports in general. And, you know, a lot of people maybe initially outside of the golfing world would say, oh, the Super Bowl. But I said, absolutely not. There's not a more exclusive event than the Masters in all of sports and really in just about anything. I mean, for you guys, I would imagine the Masters is the answer, but you think about bucket list items and sporting events to go to, what is kind of your top three? Bill, I was going to start with you.
Well, you know, I've never been to a Final Four. I would love to do that, even if, you know, I didn't have a dog in the fight, so that would be a big thing for me. I went to the first Super Bowl, but I haven't been to one since. So
wow.
That might be a nice thing to do again. But I did go to the very first one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
Against the Packers. And although I've done this before, I still think the Open Championship at St. Andrews. But I think I would like to go to a Notre Dame USC football game at Notre Dame. That would probably be
That's a good
the one thing on the bucket list I'd like to do.
Yeah, that's really good for me. I've been to, I'm fortunate.
I can't stay in Notre Dame, but I understand it's a cool place to go to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of places like that where you have to experience. I've been to a Final Four, but never done the Super Bowl. Certainly never been to the Masters or anything like that. But the Super Bowl is such a, people have said it's such a corporate-y crowd for a sporting event that you're not used to for a normal football game. And so the atmosphere is kind of unique to that. So I don't know.
I think the Super Bowl is the best TV
Agreed.
Experience all that day. I mm-hmm. like that Super Bowl and all the carrying on before and post. And it's a great day. But, you know, my number one, of course, is going to be the Masters. I would always, you know, the Kentucky Derby has always been fascinating to me. But maybe it's better on television.
I've been there, yeah.
You know, that's a big deal.
That's coming up, too. We're less than a month away.
The Open Championship at St. Andrews is quite an experience. And I was able to experience that with my wife and my youngest daughter, Mimi. And we sat behind the 18th green for 7 hours. And, I mean, we just enjoyed that arena. And it's like a stadium, Bill, and you've been there. All the players
fantastic.
Coming up. And so many different events. I like the Rose Bowl. I think
that's a good one as well.
You know, Michigan against anybody. So great opportunities.
Fun. Yeah, it's fun to think about just some of those amazing events.
500.
Yeah, oh, there's a ton. There's a ton. That's why it's tough to come up with just your top three. Okay, guys, the Masters, real quick, if you want to go ahead and draft them now, we can, and make sure we get that in. Bill, we'll let Bill start off. How about that? We'll let Bill start off. So we're going to each draft four golfers, and then we'll take the best three of our scores. We'll check in on it next Saturday. So, Bill, you're first up. You get the number one pick here.
I'm going to go Justin Thomas.
All right, let me write that down. Justin Thomas. All right, Charlie, we'll let you go number two here
Dustin
on the list.
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson.
We can't take the same players.
No, right? Correct. Yep, exactly. Okay. Yep. All right, so then I'll go Rory then. And then we'll do snake. We'll do snake, so I get two picks in a row then.
Okay.
I will go Justin Rose.
Ricky Fowler.
Going?
Ricky Fowler. All right.
Bill? Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. Yeah, I was wondering how long it was going to take for somebody to go and grab him. All right, you get another one.
Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
Wow. Boy, there's so many different...
I know it's tough, right? I know. So far off the board, Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Rory, and Justin Rose.
Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood. All right, Fleetwood. Let's go. Is anybody taking Koepka? No, I don't believe so. I'll go Koepka and Molinari.
Ooh.
All right. I have my four.
I've got one more, huh?
Yeah.
Kevin Kishner.
Okay.
Oh, you took him right out from under me. That's who I was going to take. Did anybody take Koepka?
I did. Yeah, I did take him.
I thought.
All right, I'll go Jordan Spieth.
Spieth. All right, so we've got Bill's roster of four. Again, we'll take the best three of each of ours. So Justin Thomas, Tiger, Phil, and Spieth. Charlie, you got Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Fleetwood, and Kistner. I've got Rory, Rose, Koepka, and Molinari. So this will be fun to keep an eye on.
One guy I thought would get drafted would be John Rahm.
Yeah, so let me pull up. I had it set aside. We can look at this. The Vegas odds, if you just want to know whether like the top 10 most likely according to Vegas. So Rory has the best odds to win it right now. Dustin Johnson has the second best. Justin Rose has the third. Tiger the fourth. Koepka the fifth. Molinari the sixth. Rahm has the seventh best odds, tied with Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler to win it. Yeah, nobody picked that. Let's see. Charlie, you got Ricky. I'm sorry. You got Ricky
Fowler. I thought Bill would Xander. The X-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I could have thought of that, but I don't know if he has enough experience here yet, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's way – in fact, I don't even see him. I was trying to find what Vegas said about him. But okay, well, this will be fun. We'll check in on Saturday and see how everybody's doing at that point in time. And let's hope that we'll see who's the first to not have a guy or two make the cut. Hopefully, we've got some guys that
will be Charlie, of course.
Charlie, I think Charlie felt confident about this whole thing heading in. So I think
he does.
All right. So as far as the Masters, though, you guys mentioned your experiences there, but what is it like for a golfer or for a caddy and or a swing coach? What's it like leading up the days here and how this week looks for these golfers, Charlie?
Well, after I experienced in 2009, and it's been 10 years, this is the 10th anniversary of Ángel Cabrera's victory.
Well, it's been 10 years. Wow.
You know, and leading up to it, I was just going there. You know, I just started working with Ángel in 2007, and my expectations were not what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, on Saturday afternoon, his thoughts start coming in my mind. I said, now what happens if he wins, Bill? And lo and behold, that happened. And the whole event after the victory was another celebration. And I got so many calls. I had over 250 calls on my cell phone and from people that I hadn't seen in 20 years. Is one gentleman I worked for in Spain, Bill. He called. So it's just an incredible spot. And then, Billy, you come from a different angle that your father won it, and then you started going as a young man.
Well, I've had dad, and I've caddied, and I've also coached. So I'll give you the perspective from a caddy. There's a lot to learn on that golf course. A very difficult club course to pull the right club on. The winds are swirling. What doesn't show up on TV, Charlie, is, and I've said this many times, and a lot of people don't understand it, but Augusta lures you into missing the ball and into the wrong place. And what I mean by that is some holes you're better off going over the greens, and you're almost never better off going over greens than you are coming up short. Sometimes you're better off short-siding yourself. I was sitting in the bleachers on 17 last year, and a guy came into 17, needed to par the last two holes to make the cut. And the pin was in the back left on 17, Charlie, and it was downwind. And I said to my wife, Robin, I said, this is a perfect situation here. If you hit it over the green, you've got an easy chip shot. And if you leave it 30 or 40 feet short of the hole, which is what your instincts are telling you, downwind, downhill, down grain, you're going to putt it right off the green. And that's what this guy did, and he four-putted. And had he hit it over the green, he would have had an easier chip coming back uphill into the wind. So I think Augusta lures you into places that you think are okay, but they're not okay. And, you know, number 17, Charlie, when the pin's over in the right, your instincts are missed to the left, you putt it right off the green.
Yeah.
And if you miss it to the right of the green, you're chipping uphill into the grain. So I think there's a lot of local knowledge. So from a caddy, you have to figure out all the different pin placements and come up with your own strategy in the back of your mind of, you know, what you might think of at this point in time in a tournament, certain pin placements. So I think strategically it's a very, very interesting course to prepare for, because there are places you can miss a ball and have no chance, and there are places you can miss a ball and have a better chance than if you're on the green.
The number one influence there is gravity. I mean, it's built, there's so much relief. You know, the first tee is so much higher than the 12th green. And as you wind through the force, you're going against the gravity, you're going with gravity, and that influences that golf ball so much. So, yes, Bill, you know, it's amazing, but yet it's reality. Nicklaus won there six times. And, you know, from the age of 1963 to 1986, he just had a feel for the course, and golf is a game of feel. So it's magical.
We're late for a break. Let's
one of the things that Jack did better.
I was going to say, Bill, I hate to cut you off. We won't be able to get in our last break. Let me get this last break and see if we can come back and get your final thoughts on this. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio. Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. We just got about 90 seconds, Bill, so I just want to get your parting shot before we head into Masters Week.
Just looking for a great week. I think it's great that most players in the world are in good form. I think it's going to be a fantastic Masters. I'd be very surprised if this isn't wrought with pressure that back nine on Sunday.
If you don't play golf, start. It's such a great game for many different reasons. Socially, I mean, it's just so great. Find yourself a golf pro and learn how to play.
Say a lot of people, I just know with friends that casually watch golf, a lot of people, the Masters come and they get the itch too, right? Yeah. They get the itch to go out and play. Maybe they've never played or they haven't played in years, and the Masters certainly does that. And then today, right, we've got the Women's Amateur going on there on NBC this afternoon. I believe people want to check that out as well. So this is going to be a fun show next week. We'll be able to talk some Masters. We'll check in to see how our teams are doing here. Again, Bill's got Thomas, Woods, Mickelson, Spieth. Charlie, you got Johnson, Fowler, Fleetwood, Kisner. I've got McIlroy, Rose, Koepka, and Molinari. Thanks again to our producer, Payne. Bill, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, good stuff. Charlie,
bye-bye.
Best of luck with the surgery on the foot this
Thank
week,
you.
And we'll talk to you on Saturday.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, have a good week.